Chapter 19, EC-1101. Does my crown no longer count, now that I've been imprisoned for 1,000 years? I leaned against the metal railing of the Celestia Bridge, just a few yards away from Celestia's Mercy, listening to the gurgle of the gray water passing beneath me. My eyes looked at the enormous relief of Luna on the floodlit dam. I knew it was Luna now, after feeling her feathers on my lips. She gazed down at me despite the holes Zebras had attempted to blast into the concrete.
"How are you feeling?"
Priest asked as the black pony quietly walked up beside me.
"Still have a fever?"
He raised his hoof to touch the side of my head. I grimaced, pulling away. He kept looking at me with that annoying gaze that wasn't trying to get me in bed. I coughed a few times, proud to resist the urge to spit in the river.
"Oh, me? I'm fine. I've faced the wasteland's worst. A little cold isn't going to nail me."
I tried to keep up the act for a moment longer, then slumped a little.
"Honestly, my nose is running worse than this river, and my throat's been scrubbed with a rusty wire brush. But I do feel better. Thanks."
He smiled a little more at that. I didn't even want to mention the injury to my gut.
"You're welcome," he said, hooking his forehooves over the rail next to me and looking at the water flowing underneath on its journey to wherever rivers go.
There was a moment of silence.
"You've changed."
I closed my eyes with a little smile.
"Oh, yeah, I picked up this nasty habit called thinking. Pretty bad stuff. Caused me all kinds of misery."
I sighed and shook my head, still smiling.
"And I'm still not very good at it."
Since I'd gotten up, I'd bumped into Sakashi and her foal. Priest? Harpika? Chapel was starting to look more like an actual village, even if 3/4 of its population were still colts and fillies. Of course, one thing hadn't changed at all. The capmonger had greeted me with a look that promised, when I left, I would be capless. I just hoped she didn't clear me out before I paid for EC-1101's decryption. Provided the file even remained in my pipbuck after being struck by lightning, of course.
"Blackjack. There were ponies who were very good at it, and still didn't realize that what they were doing was wrong."
He sighed.
"Anyway, I wanted to thank you for your help."
"Huh? Me? What did I do?"
"You cleared out Blue Blood Manor enough for us to be able to scavenge from it safely. The society will pay nicely for statues, cutlery, and other things that aren't rotted. We can use that money to buy some decent building materials and try to expand Chapel. I don't know if you saw, but we're getting a little crowded."
So trade is going to save the wasteland. Maybe it will, Bottlecap. A village expanding. Growing. I'd tried to do that just 2 days ago. I smiled softly.
"Well, let me know if you need any help."
I looked at him again.
"Wait, could you not touch one room? Please?"
I told him about the memory orb and vanity, and showed him the letter.
"He apparently did something bad, but for all that, I still think he was a good pony."
He looked at me and then gave a little nod.
"So, now what's your plan?"
"Oof. I'm a bad pony to ask for a plan,"
I muttered.
"Something always seems to explode when I plan something. So for now, nothing.
I couldn't tell him that Watcher had made the arrangement to meet with my data analyst. I'd best stay put until Bottlecap contacted me. However she would.
Got a place we could lay up in for a little bit? At least till the funeral.
We'd be burying roses in the cemetery. She might not have always been a very good pony, but I still felt she deserved to be buried with respect. Funny you should ask that. Care for a walk? He said as he gave me his easy smile. I had to admit, I was a little intrigued. We walked back to the shore, but instead of heading southeast towards the town, he turned sharply south towards the hills and the dam. I could hear the sounds of water roaring through the spillways as we made our way up. Then I spotted the house sheltered from the sight of Huffington by a low ridge of rock. It looked out across the graveyard swath of yellow grass and chapel beyond.
I haven't been inside for years, so be careful,
he said as we walked towards the door. There were little miracles growing beside the door. Small flowers that looked like yellow and gold balls of color. Flowers. Actual flowers. Walking to the door, I reached out to the latch with my hoof and found it locked. Automatically, I reached for a bobby pin and focused, trying to remember exactly how to open it. The pin stuck and snapped.
Now, shoot.
He tapped my shoulder and coughed with a hint of amusement.
Mind if I help out a bit?
I looked up and saw the key floating beside me.
Oh, sure. Do it the easy way.
Still, I took it and opened the door. As I stepped in, I checked my EFS for intruders. Nothing on it, so whether the place was empty, or there was a cloaked zebra hit squad in there, or the damn pickbuck had been struck by lightning and I'd forgotten. Why couldn't I be a smart pony? The cottage hadn't been occupied for quite some time, but it looked like it had been inhabited in the last few years instead of the last few centuries. A layer of dust covered every inch of the place, and there were water stains on the ceilings and floors from old leaks. Still, it didn't reek badly of mildew, and the furniture that I could see was in pretty good shape. Metal dinnerware was stacked neatly in a corner kitchen, and some old pillows sat before a stone fireplace. There were also stars everywhere. Painted on the ceiling, carved into the stones, made of polished copper, silver, and brass, and nailed to the wall around a crescent moon. It had a feeling of great age to it, and I couldn't help but touch one of those six-pointed shapes carved next to me.
What is this place?
I asked in awe.
We called it the Star House when Arlost and I lived here, he said with a wistful smile.
I glanced at him, wondering if he knew that Arlost had returned in Reaper armor. I couldn't be sure. She hadn't come into chapel with us, saying something about fixing her gear.
What was your relationship?
Knew him. I fucked him. Or I wanted to. I couldn't help myself as I smiled. What was it about good bucks? He looked surprised, and maybe a little concerned, but answered,
I was an orphan. My parents came here and made the pilgrimage, though of course no pony called it that yet. He sighed, his eyes looking at something more distant than the walls he faced. I couldn't go with them. I stayed behind and eventually wandered into the church. It was a mess, vandalized and defaced, but I felt a purpose in restoring it. I met Arlost shortly afterwards. She wandered down the road, I think looking to make the pilgrimage herself, Scared. Confused. Maybe even a little bit mad. We talked for hours and I earned her trust, and she decided to stay for a while. He coughed quietly before the next phrase. I thought she was my first success.
I smiled. It'd be okay to tell him.
His wistful smile hardened. Then she killed a foal. What the fuck?
I blinked and cocked my head, forcing a smile.
Or a grimace.
Come again?
He looked at me, both angry and sad in equal measure. We'd started collecting the Crusaders. For a time, she was happy. Wonderfully happy. She said she'd never gotten to be a Crusader, but she couldn't tell me exactly what she meant by that. Only as time went on, she became odder than usual. The fact she didn't get older was strange enough, but she'd talk to herself or mutter in strange languages. One morning, a foal was found strangled. The hoof marks on her throat were too large to be made by anyone here except Arlost. Old anger and sadness lingered on his face. She denied it, but I couldn't trust her alone with foals anymore. And worst of all, I'm not sure she believed it either. We couldn't kill her. She had a strange ability to heal injuries, like she had a built-in healing talisman. But she couldn't stay. A lot of the oldest Crusaders still miss her. And from the tone in Priest's voice, he did too. So I moved into a house by the road proper and locked this place up. I thought about Arlost laying with Thorn between her hooves in the garage. If we hadn't been there, what would have happened? I swallowed hard, definitely feeling some hard questions coming for Rampage. I sure hope she didn't kill me for asking them.
It's a wonderful house. Thanks for showing it to me,
I said as I looked at it with a sigh.
It was like a house in the stories I got to read as a filly.
Well, when I was interested in reading, which wasn't often. Priest chuckled softly.
You misunderstand. I'm not just showing it to you.
He floated the key to me and put it in my mouth.
I'm giving it to you.
My butt and the key hit the floor.
You're giving me a house? This house?
I don't want it. I don't even count it as mine. I was just holding on to the key,
he said as he looked at the stairs.
It needs some fixing for sure, but your friends can help set that up. There's some furniture upstairs, old belongings. We never used it, and it felt rude to just throw out.
But why?
I asked, feeling a little lightheaded.
I didn't build you turrets or make walls or kill any pony for you. Why would you give me this?
So you'll stop by chapel more often, of course,
he said with a simple, pleasant smile. I kissed him. If my legs had been cuffed and hobbled, I still would have found some way to kiss him. He didn't kiss back, and when our lips parted, I looked him in the eye. His smile was polite, tolerant, and forgiving. And that was all. I smiled sheepishly at him in embarrassment, then growing confusion. I felt a little ashamed, even if he didn't look angry.
Well, I'm glad you like it,
he said, covering up the resounding awkwardness as I blushed and rubbed my mouth sheepishly, kicking myself again and again. I'd acted just like I was back in Stable 99. Had I learned nothing?
Yeah,
I muttered, fighting for a smile.
I like it. A lot.
Well, I'll let you look around, he said as he walked towards the door. Then he paused. Also, could you please tell Arlos that I'm glad she's okay, but that she shouldn't come into chapel? My gut dropped once more, like I'd just been cut.
Yeah, I'll tell her.
He closed the door, and I walked to the nearest wall with an elegant six-pointed star, closed my eyes, and beat my head against it.
Stupid, stupid, stupid.
A while later, after my head stopped feeling as if some pony had hit it with a wall repeatedly, I poked it in each one of the small rooms. The two other rooms on the first floor had clearly been lived in by Rampage, Arlost, and Priest. Thankfully, it looked like they hadn't been sharing them. The first room I checked probably wasn't Priest's, since it still had so much stuff in it. Though, I'd wondered if he'd cleaned up. It seemed remarkably neat for what I'd expected of Rampage. I found a quite dented brass star-shaped badge that said, Huffington Guard. There were also a lot of books. Police procedurals, murder mysteries, and books of forensic science, mostly. She'd also collected wooden carvings of ponies. No, of zebras. I frowned as I looked from one group to the other. Munching on some peppermint sticks I'd found in a desk drawer, only a little bit dusty, I peeked into what I assumed was Priest's room. It was mostly cleared out, but there were sketches and drawings of the church. A picture of Celestia's window was pinned to a wall over the bed. Beyond that, there wasn't much left. I peeked at the full waste paper basket and lifted out the wads.
Why throw these out?
I muttered softly as I smoothed them out. Arlost looked back at me. The look was posed, and done with more detail than even the drawing of Celestia's window. I stared into her eyes. Priest should have had a pencil for a cue to mark. No wonder he hadn't wanted to kiss me. He'd loved her. Then she'd done something. Had she really killed a foal? How can you love a murderer? I picked out the intact drawings from the trash, took the ones on the walls down, and collected them in a small stack in the middle of the room. I'd return them later. I thought that maybe... could there be some way... perhaps if I... I sighed. Always trying to save ponies. I wondered just how long it would take for me to be contacted. Would Bottlecap send directions? Should I be listening for a clue from DJ Pony? Maybe I should try and find out how to repair my pit buck. Virgo Zodiac said she'd studied them, but I had no idea how to find her, or if it would even be safe to contact her. I walked upstairs. Clearly, this was where most of the belongings of the previous tenants had been stored away. Priest's homework was visible here, too. All throughout the upstairs were nice, neat boxes that only showed a little bit of rusting. I walked in on a room with a full moon painted right above the bed. Curious, I opened the closest metal box and saw a number of slightly warped photos and other knickknacks. A young, light blue unicorn in thick glasses and braces grinned beside a far younger-looking Twilight Sparkle and cheerily. She was levitating a little model of the globe with the sun and moon orbiting it. An award rested around her neck. I reached down and pulled out the little medal still hanging on the blue ribbon that had once hung around her neck. Ponyville Junior Astronomer Award. Then, a picture of her older, still wearing glasses but without the braces. She stood in a blue uniform beside a dozen other mares. "Space Mares," read a caption under it. Another photo, and she smiled at me through her thick glasses as she stood before some massive pieces of machinery. Another had her with a small cluster of ponies looking up at a model of the stars and planets. And another with her meeting with Twilight Sparkle and Applejack. The blue unicorn clearly possessed an eager hoof shake, as it looked like she was trying to shake off the purple unicorn's leg. As I looked at the streaks in their manes, I frowned. It was amazing how similar they looked. Had Twilight Sparkle had a sister? Then I looked at the next picture, and my frown deepened. Was it a missile? No, it looked much too big for that. Like a minaret mounted atop a delicate jewel-encrusted alabaster spire supported by four tapering buttresses. Some kind of rocket? A picture from the moon. My entire body went numb as I stared at the image of a world hovering above a gray horizon of faintly luminous white dust and rocks. The sun silhouetted the world above me, but I could see the tiny winking lights of cities, the darkening blues of what I could only imagine were seas, the greens of plains and forests. It looked so small and fragile, surrounded by all that darkness. Yet there was light, too. Motes of light, more beautiful for all the harsh darkness around them. The stars seemed to be almost welcoming, teasing, taunting, maybe even flirting a little. We went to the moon. Not in some kind of fairy tale of an alicorn banishing her sister to the moon, but actually traveling there. We did that, I realized, as I looked at the next picture, showing the rocket sitting upright on the open and empty plain. It possessed a terrible loneliness, stark but beautiful, pensive. Like Princess Luna, I found myself imagining. There was only one picture of the blue unicorn on the moon, and I gawked at the strange bubble helmet and silvery gem-studded suit she wore. From the way she hovered in the air, upside down as if in the middle of a somersault, I wondered if it was the suit or the moon that was allowing her to float effortlessly like a Pegasus. Another picture showed white, cloudy gems embedded in the stones, and glowing with a strange light. The moonstone seemed similar to the talismans that Glory had collected, only lacking any kind of spell glyph within. Maybe they were the source of the moon's gentle glow. I lifted the box from the stack and set it on the floor before me, looking deeper into it. I perused the newspapers behind the photos. "Back from the moon," proclaimed one headline, the picture of the rocket sitting back on Equestria with dozens of ponies gathered about it and cheering. The next had a front page article. "Our future on the moon." But it was crowded out by a report of a terrible zebra battle south of Hoofington. The next paper, dated a month later, read, "Scandal Strikes the Moon Program." And then, "Astromare Marigold a Moon Mama? What tricks did she pull to land in the cockpit?" The last, "Space Program Suspended Indefinitely Pending Investigation." I looked at the picture of the mare smiling radiantly on the moon. Then at the picture in the paper of a tiny-looking mare sitting before dozens of frowning, scowling ponies. A tiny little side article read, "Ministry of Arcane Sciences Preserves Space Explorer Marigold's Ministry Stipend." There was a little quote. "Never has a mare sacrificed so much to go so much farther than most ponies could ever dream." Twilight Sparkle.
Finally, perhaps most heartbreaking of all, was a small picture. It wasn't of the moon, or on the front page of the Huffington Post. It was of a tired and sad marigold digging in her garden with an old brown buck looking on with his own sad eyes, and passing her some of the colorful, poofy flowers I'd seen outside. Beside her rested a basket holding a purple unicorn foal, batting at a little star tied to the handle. A wrinkled note lay folded beside that picture. "Thank you for the flowers from your garden, Hoss. I just know that Taro will love them, if she'll stop eating them." There wasn't anything past that. I wondered what had happened to her. I wondered if she'd died in the bombing. I wondered if there was anything past that sad photograph. Back downstairs, I looked at the blackened casing of my pit buck and sighed. I hated waiting. I didn't want to confront Rampage just yet. Glory was avoiding me, too, since her own injury. P21 had said something about haggling with Charity over selling some gear. I thought of visiting Sakashi, but honestly, I was simply drained by my disastrous attempt at romance and thinking about that poor mare who'd been to the moon and ruined for it. And as for trying to rebuild some sort of relationship with Priest, really, I probably wouldn't have less of a chance than I did now even if I decided to shoot him. It was probably a bad idea, but I levitated out Vanity's orbs. I glanced at the bloody smear on the fourth. I didn't want to deal with his death now. Goddesses. I was so sick of death. From roses to vanity, why did every pony have to die? Want to die? Weren't there ponies who liked life? Who wanted something new in the wasteland? Well, there was P21. Too bad I'd killed his lover. Ugh, I needed a drink. Why didn't I ever have some wild Pegasus around when I really needed it? I picked up the first orb from the set, then stopped and trotted over to make sure the door was locked. Then I frowned and shoved the entire couch against the door. Blackjack was not available. I lifted the first orb to my horn and closed my eyes. I tried to make the connection, but it was hard. Not like the orb was locked, but like my horn was scared to make the contact. I suppose that was understandable. I had to breathe several times before I finally felt the connection take shape and the world swirl away. Oh, a party. As in, a full 5 stars red alert, don't let the Overmere catch us, wow, party. Lights flashed, the music was bright, and I wanted to dance. Not that I knew how to dance, but right now I'd have tried figuring it out if my host would let me. A banner bedecked with balloons and streamers proclaimed that this was Ministry of Morale Hub Inauguration Party Time. Now this was what the Ministry of Morale was all about. And in the middle of it all, both physically and socially, was a middle-aged earth pony mare with a poofy pink mane, just starting to develop gray stripes.
Come on, every pony! I know it'll make you shake your hoof things!
Pinkie Pie cheered as she immediately danced right up against bucks and mares half her age. Her infectious mood spread like a fever. I was in Vanity. At least, my host was a unicorn buck instead of just a buck. Stonewing and Jetstream flanked me. Twist, Big Macintosh, and a yellow earth pony who looked like a geeky egghead brought up the rear. The large gray doof seemed to be arguing with the ponies at the door. The young mare snickered as she adjusted her glasses.
That was mean, Macintosh.
From the rest of her squad mates came highly amused chuckles. I just told him I wasn't sure he was on the list,
Big McIntosh said with a languid chuckle.
Didn't think a buck that keeps hitting on fillies who aren't interested would be.
Twist's smile turned more genuinely grateful as McIntosh's gaze darkened a touch.
If that boy can't figure out how to manage his gun around ladies, then he shouldn't be allowed to have one.
Hey, hear that, Jetstream? We're ladies now.
Twist laughed gleefully.
Us? Saul, maybe.
The Blue Pegasus said with a quirky sort of grin.
I can't believe that she passed up a chance at a ministry morale party to go pray. Well, could be worth. Applesnack just doesn't have time for parties. Did that pony get his dick installed before he enlisted? Or was it a special issue?
Twist asked with a snort, giggling with a little bounce.
So, with everyone else except Psalm here, that had to be Flakjacket's name. The one that had been scratched off on the lockers. She pulled out a peppermint stick and munched on the end.
Ooh, I love these,
she said around the stick poking out between her lips.
Is that one of those special sticks?
Jetstream asked skeptically.
You know any zebra crap's illegal. Oh, come on. They're peppermint leaves. Peppermint. You can't tell me leaves are contraband now. Besides, the Prater eats them all the time.
Twist said with an easy laugh as the Marauder started to split up and go their separate ways. Big McIntosh went to speak to Pinkie Pie, the egghead following like his ghost. Stonewing and Jetstream flew up to the second floor balcony, leaving Vanity watching with a wistful sigh. Twist spoke around the candy cane sticking out of the corner of her mouth like a cigar.
I keep telling you. Month one of these, and you might actually be able to ask her out.
What? Who, me? Vanity sputtered. She is an enlisted mare, and I'm a morale officer. It could never work.
Sure. That doesn't stop you from wanting to make it work.
Twist said as she bumped her hip against his before bouncing away. This was clearly not Vanity's sort of party, and he migrated slowly towards the edges with the other lookers-on, sipping his drink, listening to the music, and keeping his eyes open for Jetstream.
You look pensive, Uncle.
A voice rasped softly in my ear, and both of us jumped. The sound was like that of a rusty can, and we turned to look at the fair hide and golden mane of Goldenblood. His brilliant golden eyes looked searchingly at Vanity. As he talked, his breath rattled so harshly in his chest I could hear it over the blaring music.
Hardly the Grand Galloping Gala, is it?
Golden!
Vanity smiled and gave his shoulders a friendly squeeze.
I didn't know you were out of the hospital. You sound better than before.
To be truthful, he looked probably as bad as me. Dark hollows hung under his eyes, and his hide had several unhealthy blemishes on it. He wheezed softly with every breath.
Thank you, Uncle. I'm sorry I didn't get to attend your commencement.
He said in that soft, horrid voice.
It's exceptional that you signed up at all. I don't know any other aristocrats who volunteered for a frontline position.
Vanity gave a disgusted little snort.
After so many inspirational speeches, I thought some pony would have to sign up. At least a token noble.
He tried to smile dismissively. Goldenblood's smile was more aloof.
So, you signed up out of pride, then?
Even I caught the note of disapproval.
Not out of loyalty to the princesses.
The question seemed to catch Vanity by surprise as he focused on his nephew's earnest expression.
Well, I suppose for Luna as well. She needs all of our help.
Indeed. But I wonder if she has it.
Goldenblood spoke calmly, but even I could hear the tension in his voice.
Do you really think my father is loyal to Princess Luna? Do you believe that any titled pony is?
He swept his hoof to the side.
They hold their balls in galas, wasting their money on their own indulgences as war threatens the kingdom. They use their lineage to leverage safe postings around Canterlot and Manhattan, rather than place themselves where they might actually have to fight. Is there any value to the aristocracy at all, Uncle?
His question struck me as unusually direct, but I also had to admit that Goldenblood had a point. I hadn't seen anything of Blueblood or the other aristocrats that seemed worth a damn. Vanity was the first and last aristocrat who seemed to care about the actual fighting of the war. Still, his gaze hardened as he looked at the sickly stallion.
Tradition. The noble houses have always existed to serve and support Equestria and the princess. It is our duty and our sacred honor.
Goldenblood's hard look softened slightly.
Undoubtedly, Uncle. But I have to wonder, do they serve her still?
Suddenly, a leg went around my shoulders. A flash of pink to my left as Pinkie Pie pulled Vanity's head into a crushing hug.
Hey! Why are you ponies over here looking like such sourpusses? Don't you know it's supposed to be a party, Smarty?
Somehow, despite her grin, I detected a note of annoyance in her voice. Suddenly, her eye twitched and she went stiff.
Ah, left eye blink, ear wiggle, brump itch. Ooh.
She suddenly headbutted the two aside just as a sick doof was violently ill over the rail.
Ew. Some pony partied too hard.
She said with some sympathy as the club staff hurried to clean up the mess, as the huge gray pony groaned.
Good thing my pinky sense saw that coming.
Pinky sense?
Vanity asked with a skeptical smile. Goldenblood looked intrigued, however.
Oh, she won't believe me either,
Pinkie Pie said as she rolled her eyes with a slightly sad smile.
Twilight Sparkle's been trying to study it for years, and she still can't figure it out. I just get little feelings that things are going to happen, and then they do.
It sounds convenient,
Vanity said as he hid his smile behind a feigned muzzle rub. I had to agree. It wasn't like you could tell when bad things were going to happen just from an achy knee or an itchy mane. Pinkie Pie rolled her eyes with a sigh. But then Goldenblood said softly,
"It sounds lonely, knowing things that others can't understand or accept. You bear it well."
Pinkie Pie's manic grin disappeared as she looked at Goldenblood with a look of uncertainty. Then a growing smile.
You believe me?
I think there are many things in this world that can't be explained rationally. So therefore, irrational explanations should be considered.
He glanced up at where Doof hung over the rail.
And if it prevents us from getting vomited upon, I'd freely consider it.
The pink pony grinned and swept him up in a hug.
Ooh, I knew you were good pony Goldie-oldie-boldie.
Goldenblood suddenly hunched over and started to cough and retch. Pinkie Pie immediately released him, patting him on the back.
Oh, are you okay?
He gave her a tense little smile and then returned to coughing, stepping away a little.
Just adjusting,
he said as he levitated the cloth from his vest and coughed into it before drawing a slow breath. Vanity looked at the spots of pink and red left behind on the cloth. Twist bounced her way across the club, smiling like nothing in the world could bother her. She nudged Flanks with Pinkie Pie and grinned.
Hey, Pinkie. This is a great party, but I've got something that'll make it even better.
She said as she pulled out one of her candy canes and tossed it to Pinkie Pie, who caught it balanced on her nose and looked at it cross-eyed.
You've got to try one of these. Just take one. They will blow your mind,
she said with a grin. Pinkie Pie smiled and tossed the candy cane in the air, caught it in her mouth, and chewed.
Pretty sweet, Twist. Yeah, they're really super, aren't they? I made them myself,
she said proudly as she fluttered her eyes behind her thick glasses. But Pinkie Pie wasn't paying attention anymore. The pupils of her bright blue eyes expanded, and her smile grew from ear to ear like mine had the first time playing the contrabass.
Oh, wow. This is really super-duper-trooper good,
the mare said as she bounced gleefully on her hooves. She pointed a hoof at Twist and started to giggle.
Ooh, you're still sad about Apple Bloom, aren't you? I can feel it.
She looked right into Vanity's eyes.
And you keep thinking you're a murderer and scared you're going to turn into a monster. And you are.
And then she looked at Goldenblood.
And you...
Her smile slowly started to fade away.
You...
And just like the ruins of Sugar Cube Corner, I watched as her face turned from glee into an expression of fear.
You're going to hurt a lot of ponies. Lots and lots and lots.
Goldenblood didn't say a word as he simply looked back at the mare with his golden gaze.
Pinkie Pie, relax. It's a party.
Twist said in worry as she gave Pinkie's flank a nudge. But now the pink mare wasn't paying any attention to us. Her eyes were sweeping from one to the next.
And he's a rapist. And she's stealing it. And, oh no, 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 no.
She sat down hard, muttering.
Twitchy mane, hot hoof, tingly knee, dry tongue? What does it mean?
We should call a doctor, Vanity said as he looked around.
Twist knelt, apologizing repeatedly for the candy she hugged the trembling Pinkie Pie. The crowd was starting to notice, but that was when a huge cake made in the shape of a pink ministry hub was wheeled in. Pinkie Pie looked right at it and pointed her trembling hoof.
It's a bomb. It's a bomb. There's a bomb. A really big bomb.
She whimpered over and over again as she shook. Then she looked around at the crowd.
You have... Oh, there's so many ponies. You have to do something.
Twist looked skeptical. Vanity just shook his head. Goldenblood's face was a stoic mask. Pinkie Pie stared at him.
Please, Goldie. Please don't let them get hurt.
She begged as tears ran down her face. Goldenblood closed his eyes, and then said in a tone of command that made Vanity's ears rise up.
Vanity, get a message to the Hovington Guard. There's a terminal you can use in the club's office. Tell them some pony planted a bomb, Prince. Twist, yes. Find Big Macintosh. Tell him the cake is a bomb.
He began coughing and hacking again, but struggled to keep his breath.
Pinkie Pie, listen to me.
The shaking mare looked up at him.
You need to smile. You need to calm down. Where you go, the party goes. And the party needs to go outside.
Pinkie Pie stared at him, then swallowed and nodded. And just like that, she was okay again. Her smile returned. Her hair seemed to curl. Only her eyes remained terrified.
Oh, sure, Goldie. Great idea.
Goldenblood just gave Vanity a look, and my host ran for the office as Pinkie Pie suddenly cried out,
"Come on, every pony! You know what'd be a great idea? A block party! Come on outside!"
she said as she bounced towards the door while singing something about raising the roof and a party for Hovington. The cake looked quite forlorn as the club emptied calmly. Prince Vanity's name seemed to help the city guard take the threat seriously. Big Macintosh and Doof encouraged the rest of the staff to leave. When the club was mostly empty, Vanity carefully scraped away the pink frosting and cake. It peeled away enough for us to see the gray blocks of explosives within. She hadn't been crazy after all. When Vanity found Pinkie Pie, she was tackling one of the cooks.
"You did it! You made that bomb. You're a bad pony. I can tell. A mad bomber pony."
"You're crazy, lady. I just picked up the cake from the bakery,"
he protested as she glared down at him. She grabbed his head in her hooves and pulled his face within an inch of her own.
"Don't call me crazy, you wicked, bad, no-good pony. You'll tell me what you're doing. I've made dragons talk. You'll be easy."
She looked at the guards.
"Can you take him to my hub? I think we're going to need a special private party, Wardy."
The crowd cheered as the buck was dragged towards the ministry hub, still shouting his innocence. Oddly, Pinkie Pie didn't look happy with their cheers. In fact, standing this close to her, she looked angry. Scared and angry. And her smile was almost vengeful as she trotted out of sight. Vanity and Goldenblood followed her. She was pacing, fuming.
"It's all secrets and lies. All of it. All those ponies,"
she said, more to herself than the two unicorns.
"I saw what they were doing. The pieces all came together and...
Her bright eyes darkened. She suddenly slumped.
I don't know how I can stop it. I couldn't stop it when I knew it was a bomb."
She sniffed as tears ran down her cheeks.
"Oh, I'm so stupid. All I can do is throw parties. I don't know how to stop bad ponies and keep the good ponies happy and safe."
Vanity just sighed and rubbed Pinky's shoulder.
"Don't feel bad about this, Ms. Pie. Leave it up to the city guard. It's their duty to keep peace and security. They will find the bad ponies."
And for a moment, it looked as if that was going to be that. But Goldenblood was just looking at Pinkie Pie. Then he answered slowly,
"I don't know, Pinkie Pie. I think you can do more than you know. The Ministry of Morale is more widespread than any ministry. You've got contacts and roots in the community. And you have the Pinkie Pie sense. That's something that no pony else has. If there is any pony in Equestria who can keep us safe, it's you."
Pinkie Pie looked at him, her face a mask of desolation. Then she sniffed and rubbed her nose.
Maybe. I need more of Twist's candy. And there's so much to keep track of, I don't even know where to begin.
Goldenblood glanced at Vanity, his lips curling slightly.
"Oh, I can think of a few places. After all, I know there's a lot of aristocrats who you should use your pinky sense on. Especially if they're not helping Princess Luna as much as they could."
Pinkie Pie closed her eyes and then murmured. To herself or the unicorns, I wasn't sure.
"Oh, Goldie. I asked you not to let them get hurt."
I jerked out of the memory and at once took stock. I was still on the couch pressed against the front door. I wasn't disemboweled, to you some blue blood hadn't resurrected themselves and come out of the darkness to gang rape me. No sprite bots. I had to admit that, for coming out of an orb, this was pretty smooth. So for once, I could actually think about what I'd seen. It had been pretty clear that Goldenblood had a grudge against his father and the other aristocrats. Maybe it was his father's mistreatment. Maybe it was his loyalty to Luna. Whatever it was, he'd clearly set Pinkie Pie on the road to putting monitoring equipment into bakeries and sending her surrogate parents to spy on her behalf. Paranoia? Or had Pinkie Pie really sensed something? Still, I'd heard the argument. The doubt. Goldenblood seemed determined to bring down his father and the aristocracy. And he'd used Pinkie Pie and his uncle. I just wondered. Just wondered. Why I heard hoofsteps upstairs.
I could really use an EFS right now,
I muttered as I rolled off the couch and readied the Dragon Claw and Cupcake's revolver.
Actually, I could really use a drink right now.
Too bad neither Priest nor Arlost had kept a liquor cabinet. Slowly, I made my way upstairs. I'd only checked one room, the one with Marigold's belongings. I'd never checked the other. Images of more ghost ponies peeked into my mind. I cracked the door open. The unicorn mare in black lace who'd been praying at the chapel when I'd first visited it was in the house, her back to me. Up close, I could suddenly appreciate just how big she was. Her horn glowed as she lifted away her dress. A dusky purple hide appeared. And wings. And, oh, sweet princesses.
It was Luna.
No. No. Not Luna, I realized. I'd seen Luna. What stood in the room was like a copy. A pale imitation. The light was dull upon her horn, and no magical moonlight seemed to glow on her matte hide. And, to seal the appearance, there was no cutie mark on this mare's flank. Still, what the hey? I considered my options. A tiny P21 told me that I had the element of surprise and shouldn't waste it. A tiny glory warned me that she might not be hostile. A tiny blackjack lay in a bathtub and whined about how she wanted a drink. A tiny rampage just gave a shrug. Nah, fuck it. I closed the door softly, then knocked on it.
Hey, if you'd like to talk, Miss Alicorn, come on downstairs,
I said loudly, turning around. I'd probably just invited another monster to kill me. Maybe she was another Zodiac. Or a monster pony like Gorgon. I really didn't care at this point. If she tried to attack me, then I'd kill her. Or something. The plan was still a little fuzzy. I hopped back onto the couch, propping my head up on one of the arms as I dug through my saddlebags for a fancy buck cake and two sparkle colas. I hummed to myself, trying to avoid the urge to go back upstairs. Then there was a hoof step on the stairs. Then another. And another. Purple eyes peeked around the corner.
Hey, if you're gonna kill me, you mind waiting till I'm done eating?
I muttered around a mouthful of gooey cherry filling. She just stared at me a moment before slowly walking the rest of the way down into the living room.
You want a soda?
I asked, lifting one. I'm fairly sure that, of all the things she thought I might have asked, this wasn't even on the list. The purple alicorn seemed a bit at a loss.
The goddess does not require a soda,
she finally said in a low, quiet voice. I was really amazed I could hear it at all. There was something unnatural about it. Something off. Something about it sounded familiar, too. Luna only knew how, though.
Didn't ask if you required one. Just wanted to know if you wanted one.
The alicorn's horn glowed softly, and she lifted the drink to her lips. She looked suspicious and wary as she took a very small drink from the bottle.
You are unusual. You are not afraid of us.
She'd somehow managed to say that while drinking, without moving her lips. Putting that aside for the moment, I focus on what she'd said rather than how she'd said it. I suspected that this was not the reaction she'd expected. Good. And was it just my imagination, or did I now detect a hint of a smile?
Sorry. Call me jaded,
I replied after swallowing.
But after you have a cyber monster pony screaming cunt at you, hunting you clear across the wasteland, it's sort of hard to raise the bar on that.
I popped the last bit of cake into my mouth, chewing briskly. I gulped it down and wiped the crumbs away.
Not that you're not interesting, of course. We are the goddess,
she said, again without moving her lips. There was some confusion and hesitation in her statement, as though even the purple alicorn wasn't exactly sure. Personally, I would have thought a goddess would be much more assertive.
Well, when I start seeing double, I'll start calling you plural.
I sat up and coughed, hacked and spat a glob of phlegm into the cake wrapper. The alicorn went from looking suspicious to looking disgusted. I wiped my mouth with a hoof as I looked up at her.
Do you have a name, or will goddess suffice?
Now, I know some ponies might have fallen over themselves at the sight of some pony that looked like the princesses and called themselves a goddess, but I'd seen the real thing. I'd even been touched by Luna's feathers. Well, secondhand. I could still remember the feeling of them on my lips. And so, looking at this alicorn, I felt curiosity, but certainly not reverence. I should have been more suspicious, I suppose. She just looked so sad. Again, that long silence. It was almost as if she were considering options.
Lacunae. Uh-huh. Lacunae. Let me guess. It's a name that's absolutely rife with meaning and mystery that's completely over my head,
I said with a grin, and Lacunae looked a bit more wary.
Well, my name is Blackjack. But you know that already. You've been watching me for some time.
I looked at her from over the tops of my mirrored glasses.
In the chapel, and in the mansion. We were considering you for unity and joining the goddess,
she replied softly. As with all of her speech, her lips did not move, and it looked like she hadn't altered her breathing either. That was one of the less strange things going on, though, and I could wonder about it later. Joining the goddess. Was there a part of that which didn't sound creepy? I waved my hoof before me.
Yeah, pass. I've got way too much trouble on my hoof. I'm damaged goods. We agree.
She hesitated, head cocked as if she were listening and not quite sure how to express it.
We have observed some positive traits. You are unusually tenacious. However, you are also unpredictable, unstable, irrational and self-destructive. And whiny. Definitely whiny.
There was a long pause.
We no longer wish for you to share in unity.
Huh. I grunted softly, not entirely surprised, but still slightly hurt. Was I that whiny?
Well, shucks.
I said with a chuckle.
So, if you're not interested in me for this, you-know-what's-it, what are you doing here? We live here,
she said. She took another hesitant sip, almost as if this wasn't something a goddess was supposed to do. I suppose that, with the cottage being abandoned, this was a natural place for a big alicorn goddess thing to live. Either that, or Priest had omitted a really big part of his time here.
Am I dreaming?
Okay. The questions were becoming more interesting.
I don't know. Are you? I am always dreaming. We are dreaming each other's dreams. But my dreams are missing.
She looked at the stars painted on the ceiling.
This city is full of nightmares. They scream in me. I do not want to be here, but we need me here. Nightmares?
I muttered, thinking back over the last 4 days. You think?
They are hateful dreams. Spiteful. Full of malice. They make it hard to hear the goddess. I wish I could hear us more clearly. I need her forgiveness. I need her confidence.
She looked in the direction of the chapel.
I can hear us most clearly in the House of Faith. That is why I remain here, where there is less to fear.
She looked at me.
Are you afraid?
I sighed, looking at the strange creature.
Hun, I recently escaped from a rape factory. An emotionally scarred buck who half wants to kill me is my best friend. We've got a Pegasus with us, who was booted from the Enclave, but still thinks of herself as one of them. And we've got a Reaper who survived getting her head cut off, and who may or may not be a psychopath. I've faced monsters, been really annoyed by 200-year-old mysteries, and shot at. A lot. You're gonna have to be a little more specific. Are you afraid for your soul?
I blinked and groaned, burying my face in my hooves as I did so. Philosophy. Why did she have to ask me about philosophy? Still, I thought about it.
I'm afraid that I'll turn into something I hate. I'm afraid that I'll hurt ponies who don't deserve it. I'm afraid that one day I won't want to stop killing. So, yeah, I guess I am.
I sighed and then smiled.
Guess we've got that in common. But I've got mysteries to solve, questions to answer, and bastards to kill.
Then she paused.
May I tell her?
Then she fell silent, and I frowned as I watched her closely. She drooped a little.
I am looking for something as well, but it is difficult searching alone. We do not like the nightmares of the city. One can be ignored, but dozens spread the nightmare through us all. I do not wish to search alone. May I accompany you? You... What? Why? Lacunae, I get shot at almost daily. There's not a day that seems to go by when something isn't trying to kill me. I'm not exactly sure it would be safe.
For either of us. For all I knew, this whole goddess bit was just a ploy by Sanguine to do... something.
I have no idea who or what you are, or what your agenda is.
She definitely seemed psychologically unstable and was clearly withholding secrets.
Please?
I blinked hard. Had an alicorn just used the magic word to try and convince me? Did she, or they, really think that I was that trusting of a complete stranger who was somewhat nuts? I just looked at her for a moment, then raised my hose into the air and snorted.
Welcome aboard. You get the dishes Tuesdays and Thursdays. Just make sure you try to schedule your emotional breakdowns when they don't conflict with ours. One of us is bad enough, but whew, when we all get going...
I rolled off the couch and then struggled to pull the couch away from the door. Then a brighter glow enveloped the couch and easily pulled it away. Ah, great. And she was stronger than me. It was probably because of her great big... I did not need a case of horn envy right now.
Okay. I need to fill in my friends. Need to make sure Glory's okay. She almost got eaten last night. She's been acting a little weird since then. Need to tell Rampage not to try and gut you. Should probably also ask about the whole full murdering thing. Oh, and I need to let P21 know that we've got another mare with us. He'll be thrilled.
As I slipped out the door, I heard her mumble softly.
Are you sure we want to do this?
To be continued.